Matthew chapter number 13. Again, I'm very thankful to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 24. If you brought your Bibles this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful you brought your Bible to church. We wouldn't go to work without our phones, would we? Why should we come to church without our Bibles? We're locked and loaded, right? Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 24. Let's pray and we'll get into the Word of God. Lord, I ask you this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just bind the devil off this message today. Lord, I know this is a salvation message. And Lord, I believe you've given it to me at a perfect time. And I believe that you have someone here that needs it. Lord, as we talk about the wheat and the tares this morning, I pray, God, that people will understand, Lord, that it's not by their own righteousness that they're anything, but only by God. And by faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that God this morning, if someone here this morning identifies as a tare among the wheat, Lord, we know they look the same, they act the same, they sound the same, but in the end, we see in the Bible that the tares are going to burn and the wheat's going to be harvested. And I believe in the end times, all of your people are going to be harvested, Lord, and I can't wait to go to heaven. But Lord, I think there's a lot of people who think they're in, but Lord, maybe they have not believed by faith and received the grace of God. I pray this morning, Lord, that if there's someone lost this morning, man, woman, boy, or girl, whether they're here or listening online, I pray, God, this morning that you, Holy Ghost, will identify that to them, show them their need for salvation. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit this morning. Allow me to relay the message that you've given. Lord, let your people hear from you. Lord, please convict and touch the minds and hearts of your people this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to read verses 24 through 30. And then we're going to skip down to verse 36 and read through verse 43, and we're going to get Jesus' explanation of this. But I want to preach a message this morning on the wheat and the tares. I'll be honest, I've only ever preached out of this scripture one other time, and it was a long time ago at a youth rally, and it was very effective. It was not this message. This is a brand new message, but I don't enjoy some these kind of messages are tough. They're hard to preach because, you know, you don't ever want to belittle God's Word, but you also want to do justice for the lost as well. And if God's given a message that I believe is not by accident, listen, I believe everywhere we go, there's lost people. Amen. I believe everywhere you go, I believe the churches are full of people that think they're saved and maybe they don't understand salvation. Well, this morning I want to try to help you understand that. And if you're lost this morning, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God will do a work in your life and you'll not leave this place lost. There's no excuse to go to hell. I wouldn't go to hell for anybody. Matter of fact, I'm not going to hell. I can't go to hell. And I'm excited about that. And some of you should have that testimony. Amen? Yes. Amen. But if you do not, you can. Matthew 13, verse 24, the Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the what? Tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, what did he say? Nay. For those of you who don't understand the King James Bible, that means no. Everybody all right? That means no. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. In other words, don't ruin the good fruit just because of the bad fruit. Everybody all right? Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to what, church? Burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Skip down to verse 36. This is the parable interpreted by Jesus. The field, or verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, the saved people. Everybody all right? Here he is interpreting this for us. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. They're lost people. Everybody all right? The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Folks, Jesus Christ is coming back, and it's going to be soon. And I'm telling you, there are tares among the wheat this morning. I'm not making fun of anybody, calling anybody out. I'm simply relaying a message that Jesus Christ gave to me to give to you. There are tares among the wheat this morning. Look what he said in verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. What does that mean? That means if you're a tare this morning, if you are lost, your destination is not going to be to blend in here on earth and you're going to slip into heaven with everybody else. No, if you're not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to burn for all of eternity. That's what the Bible said. That's the message that Jesus is trying to relay to you this morning. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Jesus says this, who hath ears to hear, let him, what church? I believe Jesus Christ wasn't willing that a single man, woman, boy, or girl ever perish. We read that in the book of 1 Peter. He wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. I believe Jesus Christ. Listen, if Jesus Christ himself stood and preached a message that there are tares among the wheat, what does that mean to me? That means this. Hey, there's tares among the wheat today. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. In local New Testament churches, there are people who look good, act good, talk good, sound good, play the part, know what to do, know where to be, know how to look good, know how to be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there, know how to take this Bible and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? Oh yeah, you did it in my name, and that's why it worked, because it was all about Jesus. But in the end, he said, hey, depart from me. I never knew you. There's still tares among the wheat today. Say, preacher, don't get me worried. Hey, you ought not have to worry. If you've read your Bible and you're saved, you can know you're saved. We sing the kids' song, if you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. Hey, you ought to know you're saved. You ought not doubt your salvation. If you're doubting your salvation, maybe you put your faith and trust in something it shouldn't have been in, yourself. Maybe you put your faith and trust in your works. Maybe you put your faith and trust in your church attendance. God help some of us on that one. Maybe you put your faith and trust in other things, in your Sunday school teaching, in your baptism. God help you guys on that. That ain't ever saved a single person. Maybe you put your faith and trust in your works that you do in your community. All the things, all the good things you do. The money you give. The things you do. The places you send people. The money you allow people to do things with your money. Maybe you put your faith and trust in your deeds. Your good. Listen, I heard it just the other day. There was something nice being done on a ball field. I mean, a little kid did something nice for another little kid. And I heard a woman say this. That little boy's going to go to heaven for something like that. No, he's not. No, he's not. He just did something nice. Hey, you know who did something nice? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did something nice for me and for you. And here's the reality. You got to choose that gift. He gave his life and he offered a gift of salvation and eternal life. The Bible says over there in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed. But then those next four words, but while men, what's the next word? Slept. Can I say this? When we go to sleep on the things of God, the enemy is alive and well and reaping havoc. Y'all with me? The devil don't take days off. The devil don't get tired. He gains energy on your weakness. Everybody all right? We get tired and we go to sleep and we miss this and we miss that and we don't do this and we don't do that. Hey, what you don't do, the devil's going to do. But in his way. He ain't out there advocating for people to be saved. He's advocating for hell. And here's the sad reality. People are listening. We need to wake up. The enemy always attacks from the inside out. Although we have sown good seed and we have good intentions, hey, everybody has good intentions, don't we? But here's the problem with that. How many of you follow through with your good intentions? We always have a plan. We're going to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this until it comes time to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this, and then something else pops up. Hey, if God's given you a plan, stick to God's plan. Preacher was preaching last night over in the book of Acts. God had promised Paul, yeah, they were about to have a terrible accident at sea, but he promised Paul that him and all the ones on the boat, 200 other people on the boat, he said, hey, you're going to make it to dry ground. You're going to be fine. All these people say, you don't understand. These waves are bad. This is terrible. We got to let down the boat. We got to let down the lifeboat. Hey, listen, if God said they're going to make it to land alive, what are they going to do? Make it to land alive. If God told you to do something, do it. Don't sit around and wait. Hey, the tares are plenty. The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but laborers are what? Very few. Listen, there's tares out there everywhere waiting for some wheat to come by and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. But instead, it's the opposite. The tares start blending in. They say, hey, we kind of look like you. We can fit in at this church. Till you get upset. You know what I'm saying? Till Jesus Christ comes back. And you die and go to hell. Because you rejected such a free gift. We get lazy and fall asleep on the things of God. That's when the devil is waiting at the door to catch you off guard and make his next move. Can I say this? The devil never plays fair. You ever been in a match where you say, this just ain't fair? It's like when you watch college football and a big ranked school has to play the Citadel. You're like, this ain't even fair. Why is it not fair? Because you know what the outcome's going to be, right? It should be anyway, unless you're Michigan and you play in Appalachian State or something. That's why I'm an SEC fan, amen. All God's people say, amen. We can at least agree on the SEC. I hope my wife's going today. She wouldn't agree, but that's all right. That's why she ain't here today. The devil will take whatever you give him. Do you know that? He is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Here we see the sowed tares among the wheat. Well, what is the significance of this parable? Well, the parable describes a field where both good wheat and unwanted tares or weeds are growing together. The tares are similar to wheat when they're young, but they are not edible, and they can be harmful. The parable is often interpreted as a metaphor for the mixture of good and evil within the church or the world, and the separation of these elements at the end of the age. The problem with the tares is this: they look like wheat. Well, why is that a problem? Because they're deceiving. They're deceiving. They blend in very well. They look like they belong. But here's the reality. When Jesus Christ returns, the tares will be left and ultimately will be burned, is what the Bible says, in a lake of fire. And that's sad to me this morning, to be around someone who can hear the gospel preached and still reject Jesus. Wheat, it represents good, righteous people, saved people. It's valuable. It produces good fruit and is ultimately separated from the tares at the harvest. Tares, what do? They represent evil, wicked people. They are lost people. They are indistinguishable from wheat in the early stages, but are ultimately revealed to be harmful and very unproductive. Wheat is identified by its fruit and its ability to grow and produce. Tares are identified by their lack of fruit and their ability to choke and harm the wheat. Did you hear what I said? Wheat is identified by its fruit and its ability to grow and produce. Tares are identified by their lack of fruit and their ability to choke and harm the wheat. You say, so hanging out with tares is a bad thing? Oh yeah, it's a bad thing. Why is it bad? Because they'll choke you out. They want to get you on their team. Now, they can't get you on their spiritual team because you're saved. Everybody okay? But you know what they'll do? They'll convince you that this church thing ain't so important. They'll convince you that working for the Lord is a waste of your time. They'll convince you that if God wanted that person saved, He'd save them on His terms. They'll convince you that great commission that God gave you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature is not for you. They'll convince you that you got you saved and that's all you need to worry about. Worry about me, 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 me. Hey, that's a pretty quick sign of a tear. All about me. At the harvest, the wheat is gathered into the barns and the tares are gathered and burned. What are some ways to identify tares among the wheat? Well, number one, if you're taking notes this morning, tares are disobedient and ultimately unfruitful. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 7 with me. Matthew chapter 7. We're not going to get through this whole message today. This is probably going to be a 3 or 4 part message. We'll pick this back up tonight as well. Number one, how can we identify the tares? Well, they're disobedient and ultimately unfruitful. Matthew chapter 7 in verse number 15 says this, beware of what, church? That's Jesus speaking. This is in red, which come to you in sheep's clothing. What does that mean? They're going to look like you. They're going to talk like you. They're going to pretend that they're something that they're not. But here's the reality. They're going to have no spiritual fruit. And the Bible teaches that we can know them by their what? Fruits. He said, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now this is Jesus Christ speaking. You shall know them by their what? Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth what? Good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth what? Evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the what? Fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Listen, this morning, if you are lost, I'm trying to help you this morning understand that you have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I want you to understand this morning that if you are lost and you're a tare, I love you. And let me tell you something. I don't love you near as much as Jesus Christ does. He doesn't want you to die a tear and be burned and cast into an eternal lake of fire. For what? Because you're disobedient and rebellious and chose not Christ? Why would you choose to go to hell? You say, well, if God loved me, He wouldn't let me go to hell. You're right. That's why He sent Jesus. So you didn't have to. But, you know, thank God, we don't like to be told what to do. God said, you know what? I'm not going to automatically make everybody saved. I'm going to give every man, woman, boy, and girl a choice. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? I'm going to give a choice to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every kindred, everywhere will have an opportunity to be saved. But that's not going to be the case. Why? Because they've rejected Jesus Christ. I would hate to know I was going to hell. The Bible says in verse 21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Hey, what is the will of the Father? To be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It was God's will. He wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, that's the will He's talking about? Oh yeah! It was God's will for you to be saved! He wanted you to be saved. Well, if He wanted me to be saved, He'd have just chose me to be saved. No, we're not Calvinist. Hey, we serve a whosoever God. There's no, He got chosen, He didn't. Jesus Christ would have died in vain if that were true. That means all the sins wouldn't have been paid for. This whole Bible would be a lie, but that's not the case. The sins have been paid for. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Can you picture the picture here at the judgment seat? And they're looking before Jesus and they're saying, God, I was in church for so long. I talked about you. I prayed to you. I know you were listening. I sang the songs at church. I sang in the choir. I got baptized. I went to VBS. I wrote a church van. Oh, but you never, ever trusted me to be your Savior. You never took of the gift that I offered, which was my Son. You never trusted me and me alone for salvation. You put your trust in the works and all the things that you have done. Let me show you a man all the way that you read about.
His name's Cain. You see him down there? He's still burning today. Let me show you a rich man out of Luke chapter 16 who sat and thought his riches would save him. And instead of helping the beggar, he said no. But then let me show you the time where he begged the beggar to come help him. He's still there today. Let me show you all these people who had an opportunity. Let me show you this Sunday school teacher who taught Sunday school for 50 years in her church. Oh yes, she led a lot of people to Christ, but she never trusted Jesus. Let me show you this preacher who preached in the name of Jesus, and that's why he had power, because the power is in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me show you this preacher who thought he had it all figured out. He thought he was going to heaven because he was preaching the gospel. Hey, he's sitting right over there. He preached my word for 60 years, and he's burning in hell today, and he's going to burn there for eternity because he was a tare among the wheat. Y'all with me? Let me show you a large group of people who thought that a preacher holding them by the nose and dunking them in the water was going to get them to heaven. They're sitting right over there. They're burning in torment because they did not come by the way of the cross. Folks, this morning, if you're basing your salvation on anything other than Jesus Christ and Him alone, you're going to hell. I'm not here to make you feel good or bad, but I'll be honest, I hope it scares the daylights out of you. It should, because hell's hot and heaven's real. The Bible says, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. They're pleading for some mercy when Jesus looks and said, hey, I gave you mercy all the time you were on earth. Every time the preacher told you, you need to be saved. It's not about you. It's not about you. Every time the Holy Ghost came and pricked on your heart and said, hey, you're lost. You're lost. You're lost. You're lost. You're lost. You're lost. Hey, it's happening to somebody right now. I can feel it. I'm telling you right now, hey, if that's you this morning, I wouldn't wait till I shut up. I'd get up here at an old-fashioned altar and I'd bow my knee and I'd ask Jesus Christ to save me right now. Listen, you don't have to wait till I'm done. But I'm telling you this, you're not promised tomorrow. This may be the last time that the Holy Ghost comes by your way and says, hey, I'm warning you, this could be it. You're going to die and you're going to go to hell. You're going to die and you're going to go to hell. Your church membership ain't going to save you. Your baptism ain't going to save you. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. Remember that. That's what the book of Isaiah taught us. Nothing about you. Your money ain't going to save you. Your mansion ain't going to save you. Your time you spent on earth ain't going to save you. Hey, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Salvation by faith. By faith. Believing on the name of the Son of God, and thou shalt be saved. But then Jesus said, and then will I profess unto them. He's speaking of the future here. All these people are going to stand before me and they're going to say, didn't I do this? Didn't I do this? Hey, Cain did that too, didn't he? Look what I done. I'm a worker of the field. I'm a bad dude. And Abel said, I got the blood. I got the blood. And God said, that's a sweet sacrifice. Hey, you know what sacrifice He's worried about today? That blood sacrifice of His only begotten Son, Jesus. Jesus is warning us here, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Hey, a saved man is not going to naturally want to work iniquity. Everybody understand that? A saved man is going to enjoy love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You say, how can you prove that? Because if you're saved, you inherited those fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives within you, and He's contrary to iniquity. Everybody all right? But preacher, I love it. Maybe you're lost. Because if you're saved, you're not going to love it. If you're saved, you're going to be convicted. Everybody all right? Remember, it's not about us. How sad to think. Many will stand that day. Tares will be known not by what they say or profess, but by their fruits. And a fruit of disobedience is not a fruit of the Spirit. They're disobedient and ultimately unfruitful. You'll know them by their fruits. Tares within the church know how to fake it and look good. They often catch the attention of many individuals who will be led astray if they don't pay attention. Remember, the wheat is good for you. Everybody all right with that? The wheat is good for you, but the tare will harm you. Jesus is stating that disobedient to Scripture behavior is a continuous, regular action of people who talk like believers but don't act like believers. Everybody all right? Be careful around someone who always knows what to say but never really lives it out. Be careful. They just want to look good in front of everyone. Hey, that's how tares work. Lost people don't want to go to hell. Y'all with me? There ain't a single person in here that would say, "Preacher, I want to go to hell." How dumb would that be? But here's the reality. Why are you going? Why are you going? Just as foolish as it would be for you to say, "I want to go to hell," it'd be that much more foolish to go. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Hey, I remember a time after 2.5 years, Miss Janet, of the Holy Ghost kicking my tail from 7 years old on to 9 years old, 9.5. I hated going to church because I knew when that altar call come around, when I had to go to Sunday school, I was going to hear, "You need to get saved, son. You need to get saved. You're going to need to get saved. You need to get saved." Hey, you know what I'm thankful for? Persistent Sunday school teachers. I'm thankful for persistent preachers who didn't let up. And by the way, if you know someone lost, stay on them. Stay on them! Because they're going to go to hell. They're tares. But preacher, don't you know who you're... don't you know how good that person is? That person gave $1 million to the church. Where, so? Jesus Christ gave Himself. Y'all with me? That person dedicated his whole life to the community. He gave more money to the school than anybody ever has. He gave his time, his talents, his treasures. That doesn't matter. What matters is, did he know Jesus Christ? What matters is, in the end, when Jesus looks up and says, "I never knew you." And when Jesus says, "Depart from me," your excuses are over. Number two, and we'll hurry. We'll get into number three and four tonight. How else can we know if they're tares? Well, number one, we said tares are disobedient and ultimately unfruitful. By the way, tares are not going to be fruitful. They're not going to go win souls. They're not going to go door knocking. They're not going to be there for the extra stuff. They're going to do just what it takes to blend in with everybody else. Y'all know what I'm saying? Saved people desire fruit. Saved people desire to see more people saved. Saved people desire to see their families saved. Everybody okay with that? That's a real deal. Number two, and lastly this morning, go to the book of Acts chapter 5 with me. Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5, verse number 1 through 3. First, we looked and we said that tares will be disobedient and ultimately unfruitful. And by the way, you cannot act spiritual if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Y'all understand that? How can you be spiritual without the Spirit of God? We often wonder, what's wrong with that person? Well, sometimes it's simply this. Sometimes it's that individual hasn't been told the truth. They haven't been taught. Or maybe they're just plain old rebellious. And they're choosing not Jesus Christ. They're not going to be spiritual without Jesus Christ. We cannot expect that. They're going to do lost people things. Why? Because they are lost. Acts chapter 5, verse number 1. Number 2, they are pretenders. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says this: "A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it," she knew about it, "and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." This is why scheming never works. You always get exposed here. Here's what happened. "Peter said unto Ananias, 'Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? See the context, look in verse Acts chapter 4, verse 32. What happened is this. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. And with great power gave apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses, they sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Here's what happened. The saved people in the church decided, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sell all our possessions and we're going to give it to the church. Now, I ain't saying for you to do that this morning. Okay, don't say that. Please don't say, I am never going back there. He wants me to sell my house, sell my land, give it all to the church. Leave me with nothing. No, what I'm saying is the saved people agreed in here they're going to do something. They all did it. And here's Ananias and Sapphira saying, well, if they're doing it, we better do it too. But we're going to keep a part of ours for ourselves. See what I'm saying? They're tares. They weren't real wheat. They wanted to look like everybody else in front of everybody. But God knew the truth. Everybody all right? That's what I'm saying. It isn't going to work in the end when you get there and you say, God, you know I did everything everybody else did. Except believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Depart from me. They're pretenders. The context from Acts 4:32 further evidences that Ananias and Sapphira were members of the church of Jerusalem, but even though members, they were not believers. By the way, just because you're a member and got a note on a piece of paper don't make you a saved man or woman. Everybody okay with that? We do have stipulations for being a member, and I believe you ought not be a member if you're lost. Everybody okay with that? But just because you say, I'm saved, I'm a member of the church, that don't make you saved. To fake their spirituality in front of the true believers, they acted in agreeance with them. In this case, wanting to appear generous. They were instead hypocrites, intent on impressing others through deception. You ever met someone like that? They're all over the place. They're all over our world. Look at our government. Look at our leaders. Look at the countries around us. Everybody's trying to do what everybody else is doing, but it's all for one thing. Self-gain. Is it right? The Bible talks about the love of money is the what? Root of all evil. Tares are often camouflaged pretenders who lie and cover up outwardly. They come across as spiritual. But make note of this reality. Tares are characterized by pretending. Again, you will know them by their fruits. Can I say this morning? Make no mistake. You will not fool an almighty God. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Miss Barb, if you can come to the piano, we'll pick up here tonight. But I want to ask a couple questions. Brother Blake, if you'll kill that live